Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I mean, that's a bad shot. I care what anybody says. That's a bad shot. But that story won't be told that it was a bad shot.
Tied at 115. Crowd rising to the feet. George will defend Lillard.
After a week of sports that could drive a sane person crazy, two men arrive in the wee hours of a Sunday to provide clarity, truth, and questionable sports takes.
Spread floor. Lillard with 47 tonight. Working it down to 2-1. A deep three.
Oh!
This is Sports Sunday.
Blazers win the series, a walk-off three from Lillard.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
Damian Lillard from way downtown.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher with Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I mean, that's a bad shot.
The Fan.
Well, I choose you, baby. I choose to be here on Sunday morning while the other half of the team or the other third of the team decides to go out and, you know, be an a-hole and enjoy his weekend. How dare Joe?
How can you make plans to do anything that supersede this show?
Ever? I don't know. To go out there to bend and spend his days in the sun,
enjoy
and golfing.
Yourself.
Who? I mean, the nerve of this dude, man.
Who the hell are you?
I don't know, man. But either way, I'm here for my people. This is Sports Sunday as we get ready to wind down to Football Sunday, which I believe is next week.
Ooh, we are getting close.
We are right there.
Yeah, because do you start Football Sunday like right as the week of NFL football starts, or does college football? What is that?
Well, I mean,
it's my first time.
Technically,
around
we could be Football Sunday today because football has officially started.
Week zero, baby.
Week zero is here. Has came and gone already. And is there some games today?
No, I believe there's some Sunday action, unless like there's some, you know, FBS stuff going on, FCS, yeah. FCS.
Well, I know like when the college, or excuse me, when the NFL season isn't going, like, you know, you might find a Sunday game and, you know, like you said, SMU playing.
Yeah, I was looking yesterday. I know like there's a huge, LSU Florida State matchup next Sunday. But as far as this Sunday, I don't believe there's any big games or any games at all.
Well, we are here in football season, but we are going to go ahead and call this one Sports Sunday. I am Rashad Taylor, behind the glass. My guy Jordan, what's good, man?
That's good to see you. Having a great weekend.
Are you really?
I mean, minus the smoke in the air still. My wife has asthma, so that kind of unfortunately dictates our plans, just like the, you know, what the air's doing, you know, like on a particular weekend like this. So we were going to go to the lake on Friday. That got kiboshed. So that kind of sucked. So
yeah, man, a lot of, you know, natural disaster stuff going on all around the country, you know, everything, the flooding and stuff in LA or in California, excuse me. You know, obviously the wildfires that we seem to have every single summer.
Gosh, you know, yeah, here no, in the it's Northwest, a regular thing now.
We just kind of expect wildfire. Then, of course, we haven't forgotten about Hawaii and everything that's going on there. So there's a lot of stuff happening. So hopefully you guys are able to keep safe. And if you have loved ones in those areas, man, kind of making sure we're keeping some type of lifeline to them and, you know, let them know that we still with them. And
I
know,
think
we're thinking about them and everything. But, yeah, you got to stay safe out there. And that's one of those things we don't talk about enough is the people with, you know, some type of lung issue or some type of breathing issue and the smoke gets in the air. And it's tough for, you know, a lot of us people that don't have those type of issues to breathe in it. So you throw on top of that asthma or something else, like, yeah, that's a whole different bag of worms.
Well, and I was looking down in Southern Oregon, like where, you know, the Roseburg area where the AQI is near, you know, 300 to 400, which is just straight unhealthy. I think that's probably kind of back. I don't know if you all remember during the pandemic time when we were at home, when those wildfires struck and Estacada and Molalla were essentially evacuated and the Portland metro area was just in a cloud of smoke for 2 weeks.
Molalla wasn't super far away from where I live, so I figured, like,
oh damn,
it was probably coming. Like, where I was living, I could, you know, look over and see.
Yeah,
sometimes like, oh, this is getting heavy.
So you could see smoke from where you live, like not just smoke in the air, but like smoke coming from
it's
burning.
This way. I was like, this might be bad. I might have to evacuate. But luckily, didn't have those issues.
That is scary though.
But yeah, man. So you know, all that stuff aside, man, there's still some sports out there to make sure that we kind of, you know, keep our minds in a happy space, you know, a competitive space at least for a little bit. Like, but we always want to make sure that we remember the world around us and the things that are happening. But as far as sports, there's always stuff, and that's what we're here for on football and Sports Sunday. I'm gonna miss Sports Sunday though, man, because it's gonna give us the opportunity to really focus on football. But then there's always some crap that happens, and it's like, ugh. We can't even talk about it just because it's basketball, it's baseball.
Yeah, it's football only next week.
Here. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, and mind you, the thing about football is there's so much of it, you know, and so we can go real. The fact that there's only one game a week for football, we have nothing to do but, you know, dissect every single part of that week of football. So that's the cool part. But, yeah, man, I'm taking my sister today to ThriftCon.
ThriftCon. So this is like kind of something like at the Expo Center, like
this
an event
is
for
something
thrifting?
At the Expo Center for thrifting.
Okay.
Which I didn't know was an actual thing, you know, I knew obviously thrifting is a thing, but to have a whole kind of, you know, event of just, you know, thrifters and people that come out with their vintage things, like, I mean.
And to take from the Comic-Con name.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I mean, but everything doesn't have to be con. You know, everything doesn't have to be a con. You can just say, man, this is the annual thrift convention. Like, okay, cool.
It's like every scandal is gate, you know, because of Watergate. It's so stupid.
But I guess con is short for convention.
It makes sense. Yeah. It actually plays. But like gate, that doesn't, because that was just a one-off.
No.
And now it's, you know, like spy gate or deflate gate. And it's like,
are you a thrifter?
Time, yeah, so we love to, like, go, you know, there's estate sales and Friday, Saturday mornings, garage sales all around this area. You can find them on Craigslist, or if you still read the newspaper, you can find postings for local sales or even just driving around your neighborhood. So when we remember that is an option on Saturday mornings, like sitting around, hey, what to do? Yeah, let's go. But, like, other than, you know, just that time when we think, you know, hey, oh, well, let's go to a garage sale, we're not regular thrifters, I guess.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I'm not a thrifter. I really want it to be, you know, and, you know, but I don't know. It's other people's stuff in a lot of cases and stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm always a little weird.
I got you.
About thrifting. And here's Copa. I really don't know why, you know, I mean, my lady loves it.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes thrifting, like, you know, all the time and everything like that. I used to like going antique shopping. Which sounds weird.
Yeah,
you know,
I did that with my dad a lot growing
up.
Yeah,
I would...
antiquing.
I used to work for Portland Parks and Recreation. Shout out to Portland Parks. And
hell yeah.
And I would drive this group of elderly folk out to McMinnville.
I bet they were elderly.
Like once every, no, seriously, like a group of, you know, older wimp ladies.
I don't know any 24-year-olds antiquing on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. You know, let alone out there in McMinnville. But, you know, got a chance to take them out there and a couple cool antique stores. Like, oh, shoot, there's some. I found like all the Blazer cups from Dairy Queen.
Yep.
And I was like, oh. When I looked at how much each of them were, I was like, I don't want to pay $17 for each of these. You
what?
Know what I'm saying?
My dad back in the day found those for like $2. See, that's garage sailing back in like 2000s when nobody really cared about like, you know, arbitrage and trying to find items for cheap and resell them. You know, you could find stuff for $2, but now everybody's on that, like, ooh, I'm going to make a couple extra bucks of profit mindset. And so, yeah, you can't find those classic Blazer items for cheap anymore.
Those Blazer cups go down in Portland lore as like some of the obviously the coolest Blazer merch that's ever existed is those cups. In my opinion, if you never had those glasses, they came from Dairy Queen and they had classic Blazer characters. So there was a Clyde, a Jerome, everything was a caricature of each of them.
It was like a cartoonish.
Yeah, a little cartoonish thing. That was the point when it was cool to put all the, you know, just cartoon characters or caricatures on, you know, t-shirts and stuff like that. So they were all in those cups and they were all doing something different, some different activity and stuff like that. And so when you go to your friend's house and you got the drink out of that Blazer cup, like that's awesome. Or even now, if I go to a buddy's house
and you still and get to drink out of that Blazer cup,
they give me a Terry Porter Blazer cup. It's like, yo, that's awesome.
This is throwback. See, yeah. I would challenge you. I think those are probably one of the coolest pieces of classic Blazers memorabilia. The Franz Bread trading cards. Man. Every time my dad and I would go to screw the supermarket. We'd go right to the Franz store. There was one in Salem and just like right from the distributing area. They have a little area where you can, you know, buy loaves of bread. And my dad would buy like 10 loaves of bread so we could get all of the cards. And
absolutely.
We'd spend $20 getting all the packs of Blazers cards.
Yes, and man.
Man, he probably has 5 years of sets of those. So just good memories and something that every time I go back to look at, you know, are they worth anything now? No, but the memories that they hold are worth everything. You know,
that wasn't really the point. Like how many trading cards were actually worth anything? You know, to be honest, if we're being real, like
there's a few that nowadays. I did this for a couple of years. They have gotten there, you know, to a level.
How much money are you gonna get for a Purvis Ellis? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Trading card right now. You're not. You know,
these were on a local level.
Yeah, so. You know, but it was the novelty of having it, you know, to say like, oh, I got these cards or I got these cups and stuff like that. It was kind of one of those cool things. Like, what's the thing now for the Blazers? Like, what's the thing now that like you go to everybody's house and they've got one of these?
Probably like, a Dame jersey. I mean, the biggest, most generic item that I could think of, right?
Like there was things, and mind you, that was Franz Bread as far as the card you were talking
and
about.
Dairy Queen for the cups.
Like there were people that were, companies that were like, okay, we're invested in our local Blazers market. Like, where is that now?
I mean,
like you get now, you don't even get the McMuffin anymore or the Chalupa anymore for 100 points.
No, you
like,
get,
what is it now?
It's nuggets or a large fry. I can't remember, but I do miss, you know,
man,
and I guess some people, it's kind of pick your poison. Do you like McDonald's or you like Taco Bell? Like whichever one doesn't matter. But like, I think a lot of people miss the Chalupa.
I like different types of Chalupas.
And
like, that's what I like.
A lot of people feel like that there was more in the 100 point giveaway back in the day as opposed to now. I think that's kind of where people are at.
Oh, of course. Now, okay, you know? Well, just let's go ahead and change the standard. Maybe now people need to get, teams need to get 110. And then, you know, we can start talking Chalupa, or which I think they should bring.
No, if you like bumped it up to like 110 or 120 and you did something, you know, like a free burger at like a big joint, you know, like, I don't know, like this whole marketing of items for teams and specific relationships has changed so much as we're talking about over the past 20, 25 years, man. It used to be so beneficial for teams to get in business with those companies. Nowadays, it's so big on social media, you know, with the companies reach themselves. Like, what's the point? It's more so for fun than actual reach at this point. So, right. And I think that's one of the reasons it's changed, unfortunately, for the worse. And we don't get cool stuff anymore.
Then
the pandemic killed all the cool stuff even further.
Young Blazer fans will never get to experience what it was like to really have some of those things as a young kid, you know, like, again, just go to different restaurants or wherever the case is and find Blazers there, or they come to your school, or they, you know, do, I mean, I feel like a lot of them never do that.
Like, before. Rashad, if I just went Chalupa, you'd know exactly what I was doing and you'd know exactly what it was from.
Yeah.
It was when Mark Mason announced at the 100-point mark during a Blazers game that the fans were getting chalupas. It was so awesome.
Man, yeah, man. It was a great time to be a Blazer fan. Not so much now. And we got some stuff to talk about on Sports Sunday. Obviously, the Pac-12 season has officially started. Utah and USC both had games, and so we'll talk a little bit about the USC game. Not really sure if there's much to unpack from Utah, but as far as the USC game, they looked incredibly strong. They looked like a team that should be competing for a national championship. They gave up a lot of points on defense. You think that'll kind of be fixed by the time the season really gets here, but we'll talk about that. We're going to continue our divisional previews.
Yeah.
And today we have, we're wrapping things up with the NFC and AFC West. So all of our local teams over here. So we got a lot of Seahawks fans, a lot of Niner fans, a few Bronco fans, lots of Raider
and
fans.
And one Rams fan here.
And, you know, got a Rams fan, you know, over there. But, you know, also, man, starting to see a lot of Chiefs fans, you know, in these parts. And so we're going to talk. Yeah, I know, right?
If you could see me in studio, it was just like, oh, really?
And that's what happens, man. Like, you get a guy like Patty Mahomes. He comes in. He lights the world on fire. You're going to have a lot of people that are fans of those teams. A lot of younger kids. You're seeing a lot of Steph Curry and Golden State fans. It's like, I mean, it's just kind of one of those things when you got a guy changing the game.
Kind of like the Mariners are playing well. So now my Mariner fandom has been, you know, seething within me for 20 plus years. But everybody else around me, now that they're in first place, seems to be wearing Mariners gear. Hey, what the hell is that all about? Hey, I don't.
Hey, man, we've been waiting for the Mariners to get good just to put that gear on. So that's a great thing. We're also going to go ahead and talk about some of our favorite moments from the Pac-12. With this being the final season of the Pac-12, there have been some awesome, awesome moments that either maybe broke our hearts or made us, you know, cry with joy. And so Jordan and I will kind of talk about some of those. Feel free to chime in on the text line for us. Where's the text line number?
8646-FAN is the Vancouver Ford text line.
Look at Jordan over there, man.
I'll get you a sheet with that. But yeah, 503-864-6-FAN, the Vancouver Ford text line. They will help you before, during, and after the sale. Go visit them, VancouverFord.com. They're awesome. Monty helps everybody here at the station, and as soon as I need a Mach-E, which my wife and I have been talking about it for 2 years now, we're going to go see Monty.
Selling things for Vancouver Ford, man.
Hell yeah.
Go ahead, bud. So when we come back, man, we're just going to get some basketball up and out of the way. Let's go ahead and do it. I'm not going to speak on the team that Damian Lillard was talking about, but Dame has some things to say. And, man, we'll see if these bros are loyal, man. We're going to talk about that next right here, Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Sports Sunday crew here, minus Joe Fish, who's up there and down there in Bend. You know, having him a grand old time. I was saying, Joe, you have like the most wonderful, wonderful weekends of all time. Like, well, I mean, there's never
the
like a dull moment.
Us, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what it is. You know, single guy, so just kind of out there, just living his dreams.
Can't
you know?
Just use his son at this point. Is like, he's like a single dad. Like, yeah. hey, go get dad some strange.
There it
there's
is, man.
A stand-up you comedian know, that has a joke about
bring me
about
a white
that.
Claw back, you know.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, so he doesn't get to participate in this conversation with us. You know, he was going to, Joe said he was going to Skype in or Google Meets on a Skype. Or, you know what I'm saying? What was it, like Zoom in?
Like, hey,
and
guys.
As soon as he said that last week, I looked at him like, bro, stop it. You're not doing. It's like, no, I think I can do it. And he'll be able to do it.
Lots of Blazers news this week.
Yeah, no, exactly. That would have been his whole sneeze the entire time. So I was like, yeah. So it didn't shock me. We got here and I was like, hey, Did Joe hit you and tell you about him kind of doing the whole Zoom meeting, Zoom call-in?
Yeah, I'm a goldfish. I'll be honest. I completely forgot about what was spoken last week on and off the air about Joe being gone. So, like, when you show up, you know, I just kind of waited by the door for you. It's like, oh, what's up, fam? And it's like, Joe talked to you? It's like, oh, yeah, that's... No, I did not hear a damn word from our buddy Joe Fisher.
Yeah, because he's not coming in via Zoom, Google Meet, Skype. He's not doing smoke signals. Joe is out for the day. So
he's not doing the remote working.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. Not with a radio show. Like neither. Well, I don't think we really care that much. You know, like when we're not here.
Nah.
Someone who also doesn't seem like they care very much is, I guess he's still Trailblazers point guard, 7-time All-Star Damian Lillard.
I guess we technically call him that. Still,
he's
yes.
still that. You know, when they start the article, that's usually what it says. Dame had a sit-down interview with ESPN's Mark Spears. Always, a great interview, at least for me. And he had some stuff to say about Portland, or rather not had some stuff to say about Portland. I think this clip is about a minute and a half.
Yeah, almost 2 minutes long, but it's pretty spicy for the pepper.
So if you haven't heard it yet, and mind you, I'm just now hearing all of it today. I heard a little soundbite like most of us heard about the things that he said, but we're going to dive into some of the things that Trailblazer point guard Damian Lillard said. Go ahead and check this out.
What was the straw that brought you uncertainty about the future of the Blazers franchise?
I'm not gonna speak on the Blazers. It's a lot of love and respect, but I don't, you know, I won't speak on the Blazers.
It's well documented that there have been a trade request. Is to the Miami Heat. Is there anything that you could say about the trade request?
I can say that there was, and I would just prefer not to speak on the Trailblazers.
Oftentimes with you, the word loyalty comes up. How do you balance loyalty with getting the best for you?
I've always said that I'm loyal to who I am, and I'm going to do what I feel like is the right thing to do. This is the vision I have for myself. This is what I see being fit for me at this moment. I'm going to ride that until the wheels fall off. But, you know, anything that I'm a part of, it all has to be connected. That's what I'm loyal to.
What are your championship dreams and aspirations now as a 33-year-old?
That's literally the thing at the top of my list. You know, when I wake up and I got to get up and go do what I got to do, I got to make time for my kids, and I still got to lift, and I got to do all these things, and I got to make sure that training and the preparation is still my priority. You need something about to stay committed the way I've been committed, and it's as high as it's gonna get. Like that's ultimately what I wanna experience, and that's what I want to get done.
Man, hot in the last 45, 50 seconds.
You know, like, I mean, the thing that got me, and I think we all heard the first part, or at least we saw maybe a part of the clip, like most of us on social did, but I'm not going to speak on the Blazers. That was the part that kind of hit, still hits hardest for me. The fact that, you know, after all this time, after all these years, and the Blazers pretty much, you know, doing their best to cater to, I mean, real, I'm not going to say, Olshay was not a great GM, was not, but also I don't think it would have mattered if we're being completely honest. History, if look at history, and history kind of shows us everything. Nobody's coming to Portland. People in most cases have to agree to be traded somewhere. Like Dame has pretty much only agreed to be traded to Miami Heat, and that's a whole different thing to be, you know, to feel a way about. But nobody was coming to Portland. It happened the one time. Well, actually, it happened a lot in the 90s as far as having guys that were traded. But at that point, you didn't have guys that really had the player empowerment that a lot of these players have now, or that all these players have now. You know, at that point, if you were traded to the Bullets, you were just traded to the Bullets. That's just how that went. You know, there was no, I'm going to sit it out and I'm going to let them buy me out or anything like that. No, it was like, you play for the Jazz. That's just how this works. But, you know, now with players, you know, kind of understanding a little more of their worth and what they bring as far as revenue. Yeah, they have this ability to kind of call their shot now. But I think for the most part, the Blazers have tried to do things that would help Damian Lillard. Outside of not getting Paul George, you know, that one time, that was more so because Kevin Pritchard hates Portland, you know, at this point. And I probably would have hated Portland, too, and not have done no business with them.
Oh, yeah, they did KP wrong. Yeah, they obviously. I mean, Pritchard, the dude worked his final draft after being fired, you know, knowing that that would probably help his future job prospects in the league. But
Pritch worked his ass off as the general manager of the Blazers. And it was really, that was the one time as far as somebody from the front office, and it really kind of hurting the Blazers, that was the one time that I think that really that happened. Like, and you lost him, and then you fire Terry Stotts. Okay, you know, these aren't great moves, but whatever. You know, you've got faith in Damian Lillard and everything. You've drafted some young guys, and if Philadelphia showed us anything, and some of these other franchises showed us anything, man, you draft well for a couple years, it usually pays off.
Yeah,
this is the third year that the Blazers have gotten kind of a stud, you know, in the draft, or third year in like 5 years. You throw an Ant, then you throw in the fact that you've been able to draft Shaden and now Scoot, you know, all of a sudden, you know, with the future building, that looks good. But as far as Dame saying he's not going to speak on the Blazers, but then follows it by saying there's a lot of love and respect there, but I'm not going to speak on the Blazers. Yeah. Would you want them? I'm curious of what Dame wants the Blazers to say. We're going to trade you for peanuts? Sure. Like, go ahead and go to Miami. Our best player, one of the most talented players in the league, a top 10, top 12 player, depending on who you're talking to, player in the league. And we're just going to give you up for Tyler Hero and a first and second round draft pick? That sounds balanced to you?
I mean, I'm not necessarily sure that's what he's saying here. I think he is trying to protect his love for the Blazers. We've heard the statement from him on Instagram Live that one day saying bulletproof love. So there's the feeling. I think this is a, you know, professional athlete still at the peak of his game, trying to get what he wants, but also trying to toe that line of like, yo, I love the Blazers. I love the organization. And this isn't necessarily, you know, like the fault of every single person in the Blazers organization that's been there throughout my time. And I do think he's very careful with his statements publicly. You know, you talked about Neil Olshay's time here. And if we're really pinning, you make a good point, Rashad, if we're really pinning exactly like when Dame, everybody can ask the question, you know, when did Dame start to get antsy here? When did he want to start to, you know, get a championship outside of Portland? When did he not see the writing kind of coming together for him, and then maybe start to look outside of the organization for, you know, his future? He didn't want to answer that question there.
Because he knew how it would make him sound. And that's
exactly.
And that's my whole thing. And this is, I'm not sure if this is just the who Dame is, but he's been saying all this stuff about loyalty. Everything he said towards the tail end of that interview, as far as, you know, what loyalty, I'm loyal to me. Word? Okay, like, that's cool. And you should be loyal to yourself and everything, but everything you said goes opposite of everything you've been saying, you know, as far as winning a championship. Okay, because just a year ago, championships didn't define you. That was just a year ago. Or actually, was it earlier in the season?
It was in the last 12 months, I believe.
Yeah, it's like...
talking about his legacy not being defined by a championship.
Yeah, like, it's not defined by that, but now it's everything.
But
now it's the number one thing. And it's like, okay, and that's fine. And guess what? If you'd have said that at first, like most players say, then nobody would have had a problem with any of this. And guess what? Most of us still understand why you want to trade.
Yeah, of course.
We're not mad at you, but the fact that you want to be traded to this one team that made it all the way to the NBA Finals and won two games and almost, you know, maybe could have won if Jimmy Butler hadn't gassed out. Maybe could have done more, but got all the way to the NBA Finals and have done it twice in the past 4 years. And you don't want to be traded to anybody else. That's the one team you want to go to. If that's not the definition of the easy way out, then I don't know what is. Because it'd be different if he was saying, I just want to be traded to a contender that's trying to compete today.
No,
okay, that's
I
cool.
Hear that.
That makes perfect sense. That's what we, as Blazer fans, we all want that for you because it's not going to happen here for you. So cool. Go play for a contender. The fact that, no, it's this team. And then on my Instagram, I'm playing like, welcome to Miami. Like I've already said, this is the only place I'm going. How petty does this dude look? And now you're not going to speak on us because on the Blazers because they don't want to give up this great commodity for a Trussell?
I don't think Dame really wants to speak bad on the Blazers, regardless of whether he's, you know, demanding one team or not. And let's be honest, you know, I know Dame is giving his agent direction here, but I do, in my heart of hearts, believe that Damian Lillard has come to the conclusion that his agent kind of oversold their position a little bit. Otherwise, the deal would already be done. I mean, I think we can all agree that Aaron Goodwin probably pushed a little too hard. I mean, the NBA's memo about them saying, hey, Miami and Miami only, and how that's not okay publicly and privately, and essentially Aaron Goodwin having to deny, oh, no, we didn't say that exactly. We were saying he would be unhappy. It's like, okay, you got your hand caught in the cookie jar, and you're trying to play semantics with the words game. Damn you for doing that. This is exactly what you said. We know that's what you were telling teams. So, okay. But with all that being said, Dame knows that this is probably a hand that got overplayed. So, no, he knows in his heart of hearts he can't look good or bad here. But I don't think, regardless of the situation, he's going to speak bad on the Trailblazers. And I do think that there were the last couple of years where he really was putting his time into the development of the future of the franchise, allowing a couple of years of his prime career to tick by. Rashad,
he was hurt for one of those years.
Exactly, and, but and was, still yeah. giving the organization his body. Yes, they signed him to a $260 million deal, but the point is, he was telling Joe, he was telling everybody in the front office, "I trust you guys. I believe that you're going to do what
also,
you're telling me that you're."
But you also signed for $260. You knew what the ask was going to be. You
of
knew,
course,
and mind you, and this is the same. Dude, I know we have to break here. We're against it. But this is also the same one that was like, I'm not a recruiter. That's not my job. So you mean to tell me Stephen Curry can get on a plane and go see KD while he's on vacation to say, hey, bro, I don't like this losing feeling. We need you. Or LeBron can get on the phone after losing in the finals and call his buddies like, bro, this is not working. Let's do something together. Like, because this whole, like me, us trying to do it on our own, isn't working. Let's try something else. You know,
yeah.
And like, you mean to tell me that you are better than Steph and LeBron? You mean to tell me that that's beneath you is to go ahead and call someone and say, hey, come over here. Who knows what may have happened in a market like Portland, in a market like Utah, in one of these small markets that only have a professional basketball team, to say, hey man, why don't you come play with us for a little bit? Never to say that I don't do that. That's not my job to recruit. Yes, that's every superstar's player's role at this point in the NBA to be able to recruit like that. And the fact it was kind of arrogant, and he was on this. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to do it. And now he finds out that he can't do it himself. And it's like, y'all should have did more to help me. Like, what?
Well, all right. I hear what you're saying. We can get into it more next segment. But there has been a point, like LaMarcus leaving Portland, Dame was desperate to try and get him back. So there have been points where Dame has been trying to reach out, putting it all on Damian Lillard. I think that's why he answered the question the way that he did.
He
felt like it was being put on him solely to bring a superstar to Portland.
It's important to remember that we did have a different general manager for a while that didn't make things easy. Neil Olshey did not make things easy as far as...
No, what are you going to do when you get brought again, Evan Turner and nobody else?
Neil Olshey drafted really well. You know, there's a few guys in there in between there that he, you know, was able to draft and kind of develop in between there. It looks like Zach Collins is about to become a pretty good player, you know, now that he's healthy.
It took 7 years.
But I mean, he wasn't healthy. He was young, you know, but now.
Exactly.
But now he's about to become a guy. And I think that's the thing.
Pick at the time.
And I think it's that's kind of where we are now. So yes, there probably should have been more talent, or I think they hope there'd be more talent around Dame. But it was one of those things. You traded the most talented guy to New Orleans and got nothing for him. So that definitely didn't help either. But we can spend a lot of time talking about Damian Lillard. We can do the whole show, but we don't want to do that because there's still a lot of football to get to. But, yeah, what say you, man? Do you want to keep this conversation going or do you want to move into football?
I mean, there's really so much to be said about Dame, and I think that there's been – pretty much every angle hit. The one thing left that we could talk about is just when this deal could happen and if this conversation affects that. But other than that, I really think there's anything. Yeah. So.
Okay, moving on. It's coming up next, man. Pac-12 is back for its last hoorah. We'll talk about some of our favorite Pac-12 moments as we come back. But first, Jordan has sports.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Giving that thug passion over here on Sports and Football Sunday, baby. This is what we do, man. But yesterday, USC had their very first football game of the year, right? The foosball was back.
Foosball.
And,
you play foosball with your friends.
And not sure if you knew, but USC has a guy that won the Heisman last year. Caleb Williams, their quarterback, their star quarterback, their star sophomore quarterback, that a lot of people say has an opportunity to be the first person since Archie... Who was it? What's the
Archie
last name?
Griffin.
Archie Griffin.
Archie Griffin, the 70s. Ohio State running back Archie Griffin.
Yeah. Is the only person to actually win the Heisman twice. There have been people nominated to win it again. However, there's only one guy, Archie Griffin, to actually win the Heisman twice. Caleb Williams has an opportunity to be the second person to ever do it and the first person in, what, 60 years?
Something like that, yeah.
To be able
plus 900 betting odds.
Really?
I would run down and you're thinking, okay, I have a little money to burn. Put a 50 spot on that one.
Well, the thing,
I'll go confirm that, but it ain't bad money odds.
No, I can imagine. I can imagine it's not. But yesterday, Caleb Williams, 4 touchdowns in one game. So he did the Al Bundy as USC goes on to win 56-28 over San Jose State.
Plus 450. I'm doubling your money. Sorry, y'all. Oh, still not
say,
a bad. That's
like,
not a bad
say,
one.
Woof, man, that's...
Plus 450, though. Still decent money. Not as good as I was thinking.
But USC pretty much has been chosen as the top of the class for the what will now be kind of on its last legs, Pac-12. Again, Caleb Williams last night, 278 yards on 18 for 25. 4 touchdowns, no picks. Sacked twice, though. But other than that, he did absolute work out there. USC, top to bottom, looks like they might be the most talented team or one of the most talented teams in the country. Finally, this is what USC has been waiting for. This is the roster that they've been waiting for. After the sanctions, after everything, after going through, the big boulder that was Oregon, just kind of coming through the Pac-12 or Pac-10 and just, you know, changing the game with the jerseys and everything like that. USC is trying to bring back, you know, the classic prominence that they've always had. Those jerseys are still, they're still fire, man. That what's the color? Is it maroon?
I would say maroon or crimson. I don't know. I feel like Stanford goes by crimson, so yeah. I don't know exactly what that is. I need Danny Meringue on the horn to give me, to be like, this is the red, you jerk.
Or swag. Swag would be able to give you exactly,
tell me too.
You know, what it is. But I think after all the years of suffering for USC, after, you know, the Reggie Bush stuff and all everything was taken away and scholarships and sanctions and all that jazz. I think that this is finally the team that they've been waiting for. Last year, they came within a game of making it to the playoff. This year might be their year. And so yesterday they had a dominant win. But it kind of got me thinking as I'm looking at all these kind of nostalgic Pac-12 and USC videos. It's like, damn, man, the Pac-12 is really gone. Like, that's a thing. And I guess I'm a traditionalist. I didn't really know, like, that I cared about, you know, stuff like that. But I guess I do, you know. And so just stuff.
You never know what you got till it's gone, right,
You really don't, you know. And so kind of got me thinking about what some of my favorite moments were as far as, you know, just being a Pac-12 fan. And off top, some of those, you know, started kind of rolling in. And the Oregon State Civil War, that whomever won that game was going to the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that was back in 2008 or, you know, 2009, one of those two. That was a great game. That was LeGarrette Blount going crazy at the end of that game. And really, I think, was that his like first game back from after a suspension? Because the first game of the season, he knocked out a Boise State player?
Oh, yeah, he knocked out Byron Hout and was suspended, I think, at the time indefinitely and was able to work his way back. I don't think it was the first game back for him, but it was the biggest performance of the season since he had come back.
No, what team was it that he knocked out the guy? What team?
Boise State. Boise State. It was the season opener. Oregon was supposed to handily beat Boise State. I think they were favored like by more than a few points.
And
like
he said to him, like, "How about that ass whooping or something?"
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. And then LeGarrette Blount clocked him, knocked Byron Hout out.
Knocked him out. That was a moment itself. Just the fact that he knocked dude out in the first game of the season, like.
And I'm not sure Byron Hout still talks about it publicly. I mean, let's be honest. LeGarrette Blount won life because he was able to knock somebody out on national television, end up playing in the NFL, making, you know, how many millions, winning a couple of different Super Bowls with the Eagles, with the Patriots. Like,
he won back to back Super Bowls.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, yeah, know? No, so, every team he was on just won the Super Bowl for a few years.
I also remember the rise of a guy named Dennis Dixon,
which honestly, for me, is
the name that really made Oregon. Like, mind you, I'm not saying he was better than Joey or anything, but Dennis Dixon. Before the injury, so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Michael Vick level type of excitement. Like once he got the ball and it became one-on-one situation, like he was running right past people all the time, but still could throw darts out there. Like Dennis Dixon really helped. And with that spread offense that was bought in, like remember 2006 or something like that? That Chip Kelly spread offense, it's like, yo, they're moving super fast.
Yeah, they hired him from University of New Hampshire, yeah.
Yeah, so those are a couple moments just off the top of my head that were like, as far as the Oregon Ducks, that were great. Of course, man, Reggie Bush and USC, and just watching Reggie Bush do video game-like stuff to everybody every week. That just that one clip that we all know, and I want to say they're playing against, maybe it's San Diego State, or I can't remember who they're playing against, and Reggie's running, you know, towards the sideline, just stops on a dime. The defender runs right past him, and then he darts, you know, diagonally for a touchdown. It's like, get out of here, bro. Reggie Bush was something different. So I'm going to miss caring about those guys because that's the main thing. It's
absolutely.
Like now that we're not like they won't really be in the same conference as, you know, as Oregon. It's like it's hard to care, you know, about teams that you don't have really a vested interest in.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, the connection that, like, the Oregon going down to the desert and possibly stumbling every year against Arizona, the trip up to Pullman, Washington State. I mean, I made one of those trips. Oregon lost that year, but I still hate Washington State Cougar fans for enjoying Ontario Smith getting injured. I mean, that's still to this day one of the most offensive things to me that I've witnessed in sports in person is like you actually are celebrating, not even a professional athlete at the time, but like some 20-year-old kid getting injured. You guys are ass. You're one of the worst kinds of fan bases I could actually even think of. But so there's many different memories. If I had to pick a good memory, because that was kind of a, I would say a bad one for sure. The first game I ever went to in the 95, this was, you know, when nobody cared about the Civil War, but the 95-96 Civil War, it was at the old Parker Stadium before Reser Stadium, and Oregon visited Oregon State to play that one. One of the first football games I ever went to. And then, of course, as you get into to the 2000s. My first ever, like, real big memory of a Ducks game was 02. You speak of USC, Rashad, when the Ducks actually matched up against the number 15 USC Trojans, ended up beating them and Carson Palmer. I remember the sealing the deal to lose the game for USC on like a 4th and 15, ended up throwing it into the side, like just into the stands, maybe 6-7 rows up on the sidelines. It was crazy, just not even close. And I'm sitting there in the end zone with, you know, the rest of these Duck fans thinking we had no shot at winning this game as like a 14-year-old kid I am. And what an upset it was. So that was a huge memory for me. And then just the pick. I got to bring up the pick. I think we can't end this segment without talking about that huge, huge moment, 1994, Kenny Wheaton's 97-yard interception return. I believe it was Damon Heward that was the quarterback for Washington State, sealed Oregon's trip to the Rose Bowl that year, and
yeah,
I think put Oregon on a rise at that point to national prominence. Mike Bellotti was kind of on the up-and-coming, taking over for Rich Brooks at that point, trying to make a name
That's probably
himself.
The number one moment in Pac-12 history, you know, is
one of them for sure.
And, you know, yeah, I think that was definitely one of those ones. So coming up next, man, let's go ahead and look at Oregon's schedule and see if we can take a peep at Oregon State's schedule. And next week, we actually get into the thick of it. And so we're going to get some predictions before we get to our NFC, AFC West predictions in the second hour. So you ready to do that, Jordan?
I am so excited. Looking up these schedules, because we're actually just a week away. I've been doing this all summer, but like now, in 6 days, I get to watch some freaking college football.
Let's go. So it starts next week. So coming up next, Oregon State schedules, our predictions. Let's see how this shakes out. Coming up next on The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
9:53, minutes before our second hour. Want to make sure we jumped into these Pac-12 schedules as far as Oregon and Oregon State. We'll go ahead and start with the Beavers real fast. And the Beavers are going to be tested in this first week. San Jose State just came off of a game against what a lot of people feel like could be a team that competes in the playoff and potentially for a national championship in USC. And they put up 28 points.
Yeah, four touchdowns worth, man.
And so no interceptions either for the offense. So I think Oregon State is going to be tested in this first week. You know, the game is going to be at San Jose State. You got a team that has a lot of momentum because they went in there and really competed against one of the best teams in the country. Oregon State is a great team. Are they one of the best teams in the country? That remains to be seen. But they got DJ Uiagalelei. Am I saying that right?
Uiagalelei.
Dang it.
Just say DJU.
No, I'm going to learn how to say his name. You know, yeah. One more time.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei. I'm going to get it eventually. You know, give me time. But they've got a new trigger man. So Ben Gulbranson just wasn't working the way they really wanted to. But here's what I want to say about Oregon State. Of all the teams in the Pac-12 that are expected to compete, and there's really five of them that are ranked, but of all those teams that are expected to compete, none of them can really compete without their QB1. Just be real.
Oh, in the Pac-12? No, yeah. I mean, there's six QB1s that are leading their team that are huge stories or interesting additions from last year.
And guess what? If Bo Nix, and I'm knocking on wood here, or Caleb Williams or Michael Penix Jr. or whomever, they go down for whatever reason, ineligible for grades, whatever you want to say. Can they really, do you really still have faith that they can compete for a playoff spot or at least compete for the Pac-12 championship?
Probably not. We're talking OSU. They did go 7-1 with Ben Gulbranson last year, but that was because, and I made this comparison earlier this week with Dirt, it's just more of like a Mac Jones being controlled by Bill Belichick situation where Gulbranson was, you know, he does like one or two things well, and Jonathan Smith was kind of limiting him to those things and limiting the offense through that.
And that's what I'm kind of, and that's kind of my point. Like, if Bo Nix goes down, I'm I don't believe that the backup is going to come in and light the world on fire. And
I don't think any Duck fan believes Ty Thompson will light anything on fire.
There you go. If Michael Penix Jr. goes down, and again, I'm knocking on wood here, and I'm saying when I say go down, I don't mean injury. I mean just say anything keeps them away from the game. You know, that happens. I don't really have the faith that UW is going to have the season they had. And same thing with USC. Oregon State, though, is used to not having a great quarterback thus far, right? So they're the one team that's like, okay, they could lose or not lose or lose their quarterback or whatever the case is and still be able to compete. Last year, they had, what, two different starting quarterbacks?
Yeah, with a couple of different points with Jebbia and Gulbranson.
There you go. And they were still able to win a Civil War. They were still able to go to a bowl game, win that. Like, yeah, Oregon State is the one team I think that can go without having a star quarterback and still be really competitive because they have a good defense and they have great pieces offensively outside of the quarterback position.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they can do this week coming up against San Jose State. Obviously, it's going to be the first look for DJU under this new, more pro-style offense that he's excited about joining. A lot more things that he's had to learn from his time in Clemson and the ACC. They're just kind of playing more of a spread style, and he's excited to, you know, take this step. He wants to be a pro-style quarterback, and he believes that Oregon State is going to turn him into that. And after this San Jose State game, you know, they did score four times against USC, whose defense is still fairly mediocre. The Beavers had, I think, the third or fourth best defense in 2022 in the Pac-12. They lost some guys. A lot of their guys still on offense are there. So kind of the same story, I think, for Oregon State as USC. Not nearly as good, of course. Mm-hmm. Not a Heisman quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. The offense is their story. The defense, they're good, but a little questionable after last season. Unfortunately, not nearly as good as USC compared to Oregon State last year. Oregon State's defense just blows them out of the water. So that's all I'm saying. It's a little bit of a question mark on defense. Offense is guaranteed. But after their San Jose State game, you know, UC Davis, San Diego State, the rest of their quote unquote preseason.
They should go 4-0 to start the season.
They should, with Washington State rounding out September before their matchup against number 14 Utah. And that, with Cam Rising, if they're healthy, Kyle Whittingham running on all cylinders, that's going to be a damn good game. A 6 p.m. kick on September 29th. Yeah, that's going to be one to look forward to. And if they can win that one, Rashad, they go 4-0 into that and go 5-0. It's just Washington and Oregon at the end of the season really sets them up for a chance to go undefeated. Can they? A lot of people say no. I think a 10-2 season is where a lot of people...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Sunday with Rashad and Joe on Portland's Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Giving that thug passion over here on Sports and Football Sunday, baby. This is what we do, man. But yesterday, USC had their very first football game of the year, right? The foosball was back.
Foosball.
And
you play foosball with your friends.
And not sure if you knew, but USC has a guy that won the Heisman last year. Caleb Williams, their quarterback, their star quarterback, their star sophomore quarterback, that a lot of people say has an opportunity to be the first person since Archie, Archie Griffin.
Archie Griffin, the 70s, Ohio State running back Archie Griffin.
Yeah, is the only person to actually win the Heisman twice. There have been people nominated to win it again. However, there's only one guy, Archie Griffin, to actually win the Heisman twice. Caleb Williams has an opportunity to be the second person to ever do it, and the first person in, what, 60 years?
Something like that, yeah.
To be able
plus 900 betting odds.
Really?
I would run down and you're thinking, okay, I have a little money to burn. Put a 50 spot on that one.
Well, the thing,
I'll go confirm that, but it ain't bad money odds.
No, I can imagine. I can imagine it's not. But yesterday, Caleb Williams, 4 touchdowns in one game. So he did the Al Bundy as USC goes on to win 56-28 over San Jose State.
Plus 450. I'm doubling your money. Sorry, y'all. Oh, still not
say,
a bad. That's
like,
not a bad
say,
one.
Woof, man, that's
plus 450 though. Still decent money. Not as good as I was thinking.
But USC pretty much has been chosen as the top of the class for the what will now be kind of on its last legs, Pac-12. Again, Caleb Williams last night, 278 yards on 18 for 25, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Sacked twice, though, but other than that, he did absolute work out there. USC, top to bottom, looks like they might be the most talented team or one of the most talented teams in the country. Finally, this is what USC has been waiting for. This is the roster that they've been waiting for. After the sanctions, after everything, after going through, the big boulder that was Oregon, just kind of coming through the Pac-12 or Pac-10 and just – you know, changing the game with the jerseys and everything like that. USC is trying to bring back, you know, the classic prominence that they've always had. Those jerseys are still, they're still fire, man. That what's the color? Is it maroon?
I would say maroon or crimson. I don't know exactly. Well, I feel like Stanford goes by crimson, so yeah. I don't know exactly what that is. I need Danny Morang on the horn to be like, this is the red, you jerk.
Or swag. Swag would be able to give you exactly,
tell me too.
You know, what it is. But I think after all the years of suffering for USC, after, you know, the Reggie Bush stuff and all everything was taken away and scholarships and sanctions and all that jazz, I think that this is finally the team that they've been waiting for. Last year, they came within a game of making it to the playoff. This year might be their year. And so yesterday they had a dominant win. But it kind of got me thinking as I'm looking at all these kind of nostalgic Pac-12 and USC videos. It's like, damn, man, the Pac-12 is really gone. Like that's thing. And I guess I'm a traditionalist. I didn't really know like that I cared about, you know, stuff like that. But I guess I do, you know. And so just stuff.
You never know what you got till it's gone.
You really don't, you know. And so kind of got me thinking about what some of my favorite moments were, as far as, you know, just being a Pac-12 fan. And off top, some of those, you know, started kind of rolling in, and the Oregon State Civil War, that whomever won that game was going to the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that was back in 2008 or, you know, 2009, one of those two. That was a great game. That was LeGarrette Blount going crazy at the end of that game. And really, I think, was that his like first game back from after his suspension? Because the first game of the season, he knocked out a Was it a Boise State player?
Oh, yeah. He knocked out Byron Hout and was suspended, I think, at the time indefinitely and was able to work his way back. I don't think it was the first game back for him, but it was the biggest performance of the season since he had come back.
No, what team was it that he knocked out the guy? What team?
Boise State. It was the season opener. Oregon was supposed to handily beat Boise State. I think they were favored like by more than a few points.
And
like
he said to him, like, "How about that ass whooping or something?"
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. And then LeGarrette Blount clocked him, knocked Byron Hout out.
Knocked him. That was a moment itself. Just the fact that he knocked dude out in the first game of the season, like.
And I'm not sure Byron Hout still talks about it publicly. I mean, let's be honest. LeGarrette Blount won life because he was able to knock somebody out on national television, end up playing in the NFL, making, you know, how many millions, winning a couple of different Super Bowls with the Eagles, with the Patriots. Like, yeah.
He won back-to-back Super Bowls.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, yeah, so, every team he was on just won the Super Bowl for a few years.
I also remember the rise of a guy named Dennis Dixon,
which, honestly, for me, is
the name that really made Oregon. Like, mind you, I'm not saying he was better than Joey or anything, but Dennis Dixon, before the injury, so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Michael Vick level type of excitement. Like once he got the ball and it became one-on-one situation, like he was running right past people all the time, but still could throw darts out there. Like Dennis Dixon really helped. And with that spread offense that was bought in, like remember 2006 or something like that? That Chip Kelly spread offense, like, yo, they're moving super fast.
Yeah, they hired him from University of New Hampshire, yeah.
Yeah, so those are a couple moments just off the top of my head that were like, as far as the Oregon Ducks, that were great. Of course, man, Reggie Bush and USC, and just watching Reggie Bush do video game-like stuff to everybody every week. That one clip that we all know, and I want to say they're playing against, maybe it's San Diego State, or I can't remember who they're playing against, and Reggie's running, you know, towards the sideline, just stops on a dime. The defender runs right past him, and then he darts, you know, diagonally for a touchdown. It's like, get out of here, bro. Reggie Bush was something different. So I'm going to miss caring about those guys because that's the main thing. It's
absolutely.
Like now that we're not, like, they won't really be in the same conference as, you know, as Oregon. It's like it's hard to care, you know, about teams that you don't have really a vested interest in.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, the connection that, like, the Oregon going down to the desert and possibly stumbling every year against Arizona, the trip up to Pullman and Washington State. I mean, I made one of those trips. Oregon lost that year, but I still hate Washington State Cougar fans for enjoying Ontario Smith getting injured. I mean, that's still to this day one of the most offensive things to me that I've witnessed in sports in person is, like, you actually are celebrating, not even a professional athlete at the time, but, like, some 20-year-old kid getting injured. You guys are ass. You're one of the worst kinds of fan bases I could actually even think of. But so there's many different memories. If I had to pick a good memory, because that was kind of a, I would say a bad one for sure. The first game I ever went to in the 95, this was, you know, when nobody cared about the Civil War, but the 95-96 Civil War, it was at the old Parker Stadium before Reser Stadium, and Oregon visited Oregon State to play that one. One of the first football games I ever went to. And then, of course, as you get into the 2000s, my first ever, like, real big memory of a Ducks game was 02. You speak of USC, Rashad, when the Ducks actually matched up against the number 15 USC Trojans, ended up beating them and Carson Palmer. I remember the sealing the deal to lose the game for USC on like a 4th and 15, ended up throwing it into the side, like just into the stands, maybe 6-7 rows up on the sidelines. It was crazy, just not even close. And I'm sitting there in the end zone with, you know, the rest of these Duck fans thinking we had no shot at winning this game as like a 14-year-old kid I am. And what an upset it was. So that was a huge memory for me. And then just the pick. I got to bring up the pick. I think we can't end this segment without talking about that huge, huge moment, 1994, Kenny Wheaton's 97-yard interception return. I believe it was Damon Heward that was the quarterback for Washington State, sealed Oregon's trip to the Rose Bowl that year, and
yeah.
I think put Oregon on a rise at that point to national prominence. Mike Bilotti was kind of on the up-and-coming, taking over for Rich Brooks at that point, trying to make a name.
That's probably
for
the number one moment in Pac-12 history, you know, is
one of them for sure.
And, you know, yeah, I think that was definitely one of those ones. So Coming up next, man, let's go ahead and look at Oregon's schedule and see if we can take a peep at Oregon State's schedule. And next week, we actually get into the thick of it. And so we're going to get some predictions before we get to our NFC, AFC West predictions in the second hour. So, you ready to do that, Jordan?
I am so excited. Looking up these schedules, because we're actually just a week away. I've been doing this all summer, but like now, in 6 days, I get to watch some freaking college football.
Let's go. So, it starts next week. So, coming up next, Oregon State schedules, our predictions. Let's see how this shakes out. Coming up next on The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
9:53, minutes before our second hour. Want to make sure we jumped into these Pac-12 schedules as far as Oregon and Oregon State. We'll go ahead and start with the Beavers real fast. And the Beavers are going to be tested in this first week. San Jose State just came off of a game against what a lot of people feel like could be a team that competes in the playoff and potentially for a national championship in USC. And they put up 28 points.
Yeah, four touchdowns worth, man.
And so no interceptions either for the offense. So I think Oregon State is going to be tested in this first week. You know, the game is going to be at San Jose State. You got a team that has a lot of momentum because they went in there and really competed against one of the best teams in the country. Oregon State is a great team. Are they one of the best teams in the country? That remains to be seen. But they got DJ Uiagalelei. Am I saying that right?
Uiagalelei.
Dang it.
Just say DJU.
No, I'm going to learn how to say his name. You know, yeah. One more time.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei. I'm going to get it eventually. You know, give me time. But they've got a new trigger man. So Ben Gulbranson just wasn't working the way they really wanted to. But here's what I want to say about Oregon State. Of all the teams in the Pac-12 that are expected to compete, and there's really five of them that are ranked, but of all those teams that are expected to compete, none of them can really compete without their QB1. Let's just be real.
Oh, in the Pac-12? No, yeah. I mean, there's six QB1s that are leading their team that are huge stories or interesting additions from last year.
And guess what? If Bo Nix, and I'm knocking on wood here, or Caleb Williams or Michael Penix Jr. or whomever, they go down for whatever reason, ineligible for grades, whatever you want to say. Can they really, do you really still have faith that they can compete for a playoff spot or at least compete for the Pac-12 championship?
Probably not. We're talking OSU. They did go 7-1 with Ben Gulbranson last year, but that was because, and I made this comparison earlier this week with Dirt, it's just more of like a Mac Jones being controlled by Bill Belichick situation where Gulbranson was, you know, he does like one or two things well, and Jonathan Smith was kind of limiting him to those things and limiting the offense through that.
And that's what I'm kind of, and that's kind of my point. Like, if Bo Nix goes down, I don't believe that the backup is going to come in and light the world on fire.
I don't think any Duck fan believes Ty Thompson will light anything on fire.
There you go. If Michael Penix Jr. goes down, and again, I'm knocking on wood here, and I'm saying when I say go down, I don't mean injury. I mean just say anything keeps them away from the game. You know, that happens. I don't really have the faith that UW is going to have the season they had. And same thing with USC. Oregon State, though, is used to not having a great quarterback thus far, right? So they're the one team that's like, okay, they could lose their quarterback or whatever the case is and still be able to compete. Last year, they had, what, two different starting quarterbacks?
Yeah, with a couple of different points with Jebbia and Gulbranson.
There you go. And they were still able to win a Civil War. They were still able to go to a bowl game, win that. Like, yeah, Oregon State is the one team I think that can go without having a star quarterback and still be really competitive because they have a good defense and they have great pieces offensively outside of the quarterback position.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they can do this week coming up against San Jose State. Obviously, it's going to be the first look for DJU under this new, more pro-style offense that he's excited about joining. A lot more things that he's had to learn from his time in Clemson and the ACC. They're just kind of playing more of a spread style, and he's excited to, you know, take this step. He wants to be a pro-style quarterback, and he believes that Oregon State is going to turn him into that. And after this San Jose State game, you know, they did score before, four times against USC, whose defense is still fairly mediocre. The Beavers had, I think, the third or fourth best defense in 2022 in the Pac-12. They lost some guys. A lot of their guys still on offense are there. So kind of the same story, I think, for Oregon State as USC. Not nearly as good, of course. Mm-hmm. Not a Heisman quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. The offense is their story. The defense, they're good, but a little questionable after last season. Not, and unfortunately, not nearly as good as USC compared to Oregon State last year. Oregon State's defense just blows them out of the water. So that's all I'm saying. It's a little bit of a question mark on defense. Offense is guaranteed. But after their San Jose State game, you know, UC Davis, San Diego State, the rest of their quote unquote preseason.
They should go 4-0 to start the season.
They should, with Washington State rounding out September before their matchup against number 14 Utah. And that, with Cam Rising, if they're healthy, Kyle Whittingham running on all cylinders, that is going to be a damn good game. A 6 p.m. kick on September 29th. Yeah, that's going to be one to look forward to. And if they can win that one, Rashad, they go 4-0 into that and go 5-0. It's just Washington and Oregon at the end of the season really sets them up for a chance to go undefeated. Can they? A lot of people say no. I think a 10-2 season is where a lot of people on the national
which is a hell of
stage,
a season.
Yeah, are sitting for the Beavers, but that is huge going into the Pac-12's final season. Are they going to get a college football playoff spot unless they go perfect? No, but they could compete.
That would be awesome if Oregon State happened to be the team from the Pac-12 that represented in the playoff just in the last year of the Pac-12. That would be amazing. Don't think it's going to happen, but yo, one can dream, right? So that's Oregon State. We always talk Oregon Ducks. This is the home of the Oregon Ducks, so you're going to hear plenty of Ducks stuff. We want to give some love for the Beavs.
I mean, really quickly, we can just say, like, they open up against Portland State, Texas Tech, Hawaii. Texas Tech's the one stumble game there in the preseason. You got former quarterback Tyler Shuck and a pretty good offense there. So mark my words, Ducks fans, look at that one. It's on the road. I think the spread is only 3.5 or something like that. So that is a stumble game in the quote-unquote preseason for Oregon. But
Real quick, any team outside of Oregon that you're looking forward to seeing what they do this season? Outside of Oregon, Oregon State.
I am excited to see what USC can do. I'm wondering if Caleb Williams can repeat his Heisman, but I am also super interested to see what Deion Sanders can do.
Bingo.
I want to see
That's
what prime in Colorado. I know it's like a no story as far as like the record's going to be. They're probably not going to be as talented, but with all the talking that he's doing, with all the transfers that he brought in, I got to see what the hell is
be
going
good,
on in Boulder.
Fam.
Yeah.
You better be great.
And the way that
he
dissed the Pac-12, basically using this job at Colorado to transition that program out of our conference at the Pac-12, saying, hey, we want the recruiting pipeline in Texas, F you on the West Coast. I personally take that as a shot. I don't like that as a West Coast football fan. So, yeah, I hope he loses by 40 every single game, and I'm interested to see what the hell's going on there.
Well, time will tell, and we'll see what's going on with that. So, Pac-12 season officially starts next week. You know, this is our last go around. This is the victory lap for the Pac-12. I'm going to call it victory lap. Let's just call it the last lap. You know, this is the last dance.
I don't know what you call this, man.
It's the last dance. We're going to call it that for the Pac-12. So, that's college football. We officially start next week, week one.
I'll be down at Autzen, baby.
There it is, man. Excited. He'll be there for Portland State versus Oregon. I will be at the house watching it comfortably from my couch.
I'm excited to see some of those coaches screaming on the field. I'm stoked for that.
That's what's up, man. Well, coming up next, man, we're going to get into our AFC West and NFC West previews. Who's going to win? Who's going to make the Super Bowl? Will it be some team from either one of those conferences? I think we might think so, right? Yeah, I think we know who we're talking about, too. So we'll talk about that next right here, Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to Sports Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
9:53, minutes before our second hour. Want to make sure we jumped into these Pac-12 schedules as far as Oregon and Oregon State. We'll go ahead and start with the Beavers real fast. And the Beavers are going to be tested in this first week. San Jose State just came off of a game against what a lot of people feel like could be a team that competes in the playoff and potentially for a national championship in USC. And they put up 28 points.
Yeah, four touchdowns worth, man.
And so no interceptions either for the offense. So I think Oregon State is going to be tested in this first week. You know, the game is going to be at San Jose State. You got a team that has a lot of momentum because they went in there and really competed against one of the best teams in the country. Oregon State is a great team. Are they one of the best teams in the country? That remains to be seen. But they got DJ Uiagalelei. Am I saying that right?
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei. Dang it.
Just say DJU.
No, I'm going to learn how to say his name. You know, yeah, one more time.
DJ Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei. I'm going to get it eventually. You know, give me time. But they've got a new trigger man. So Ben Gulbranson just wasn't working the way they really wanted to. But here's what I want to say about Oregon State. Of all the teams in the Pac-12 that are expected to compete, and there's really five of them that are ranked, but of all those teams that are expected to compete, none of them can really compete without their QB1. Just be real.
Oh, in the Pac-12? No, yeah. I mean, there's six QB1s that are leading their team that are huge stories or interesting additions from last year.
And guess what? If Bo Nix, and I'm knocking on wood here, or Caleb Williams or Michael Penix Jr. or whomever, they go down for whatever reason, ineligible for grades, whatever you want to say. Can they really, do you really still have faith that they can compete for a playoff spot or at least compete for the Pac-12 championship?
I mean,
probably not.
We're talking OSU. They did go 7-1 with Ben Gulbranson last year, but that was because, and I made this comparison earlier this week with Dirt, it's just more of like a Mac Jones being controlled by Bill Belichick situation where Gulbranson was, you know, he does like one or two things well, and Jonathan Smith was kind of limiting him to those things and limiting the offense through that.
And that's what I'm kind of, and that's kind of my point. Like, if Bo Nix goes down, I don't believe that the backup is going to come in and light the world on fire.
I don't think any Duck fan believes Ty Thompson will light anything on fire.
There you go. If Michael Penix Jr. goes down, and again, I'm knocking on wood here, and I'm saying when I say go down, I don't mean injury. I mean just say anything keeps them away from the game. You know, that happens. I don't really have the faith that UW is going to have the season they had. And same thing with USC. Oregon State, though, is used to not having a great quarterback thus far, right? So they're the one team that's like, okay, they could lose or not lose or lose their quarterback or whatever the case is and still be able to compete. Last year, they had, what, two different starting quarterbacks?
Yeah, with a couple of different points with Jebbia and Gulbranson.
There you go. And they were still able to win a Civil War. They were still able to go to a bowl game, win that. Like, yeah, Oregon State is the one team I think that can go without having a star quarterback and still be really competitive, because they have a good defense and they have great pieces offensively outside of the quarterback position.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they can do this week coming up against San Jose State. Obviously, it's going to be the first look for DJU under this new, more pro-style offense that he's excited about joining. A lot more things that he's had to learn from his time in Clemson in the ACC. They're just kind of playing more of a spread style, and he's excited to, you know, take this step. He wants to be a pro-style quarterback, and he believes that Oregon State is going to turn him into that. And after this San Jose State game, you know, they did score four times against USC, whose defense is still fairly mediocre. The Beavers had, I think, the third or fourth best defense in 2022 in the Pac-12. They lost some guys. A lot of their guys still on offense are there. So kind of the same story, I think, for Oregon State as USC. Not nearly as good, of course. Mm-hmm. Not a Heisman quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. The offense is their story. The defense, they're good, but a little questionable after last season. Unfortunately, not nearly as good as USC compared to Oregon State last year. Oregon State's defense just blows them out of the water. So that's all I'm saying. It's a little bit of a question mark on defense. Offense is guaranteed. But after their San Jose State game, you know, UC Davis, San Diego State, the rest of their quote-unquote preseason.
They should go 4-0 to start the season.
They should, with Washington State rounding out September before their matchup against number 14 Utah. And that, with Cam Rising, if they're healthy, Kyle Whittingham running on all cylinders, that is going to be a damn good game. A 6 p.m. kick on September 29th. Yeah, that's going to be one to look forward to. And if they can win that one, Rashad,
yeah,
they go 4-0 into that and go 5-0. It's just Washington and Oregon at the end of the season really sets them up for a chance to go undefeated. Can they? A lot of people say no. I think a 10-2 season is where a lot of people on the national
which is a hell of
stage,
a season.
Yeah,
which
are, is a hell are of sitting a for the Beavers, but that is huge going into the Pac-12's final season. Are they going to get a college football playoff spot? Unless they go perfect, no, but they could compete.
That would be awesome if Oregon State happened to be the team from the Pac-12 that represented in the playoff just in the last year of the Pac-12. That would be amazing. Don't think it's going to happen, but yo, one can dream, right? So that's Oregon State. We always talk Oregon Ducks. This is the home of the Oregon Ducks, so you're going to hear plenty of Ducks stuff. We want to give some love for the Beavs.
I mean, really quickly, we can just say, like, they open up against Portland State, Texas Tech, Hawaii. Texas Tech's the one stumble game there in the preseason. You got former quarterback Tyler Shuck and a pretty good offense there. So mark my words, Ducks fans, look at that one. It's on the road. I think the spread is only 3.5 or something like that. So that is a stumble game in the quote-unquote preseason for Oregon. But
real quick, any team outside of Oregon that you're looking forward to seeing what they do this season? Outside of Oregon, Oregon State.
I am excited to see what USC can do. I'm wondering if Caleb Williams can repeat his Heisman, but I am also super interested to see what Deion Sanders can do.
Bingo.
I want to see
That's
what Prime in Colorado. I know it's like a no story as far as like the record's going to be. They're probably not going to be as talented, but with all the talking that he's doing, with all the transfers that he brought in, I got to see what the hell's
going
on
in Boulder.
Yeah.
You better be great.
And the way that he dissed the Pac-12, basically using this job at Colorado to transition that program out of our conference at the Pac-12, saying, hey, we want the recruiting pipeline in Texas, F you on the West Coast. I personally take that as a shot. I don't like that as a West Coast football fan. So, yeah, I hope he loses by 40 every single game, and I'm interested to see what the hell's going on there.
Well, time will tell, and we'll see what's going on with that. So, Pac-12 season officially starts next week. You know, this is our last go around. This is the victory lap for the Pac-12. I'm going to call it a victory lap. Let's just call it the last lap. You know, this is the last dance.
I don't know what you call this, man.
It's the last dance. We're going to call it that for the Pac-12. So, that's college football. We officially start next week, week one.
I'll be down at Autzen, baby.
There it is, man.
Excited.
He'll be there for Portland State versus Oregon. I will be at the house watching it comfortably from my couch.
I'm excited to see some of those coaches screaming on the field. I'm stoked for that.
That's what's up, man. Well, coming up next, man, we're going to get into our AFC West and NFC West previews. Who's going to win? Who's going to make the Super Bowl? Will it be some team from either one of those conferences? I think we might think so, right? Yeah, I think we know who we're talking about, too. So we'll talk about that next, right here, Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.